I have got a lot to cover, and we're going to be moving right down the track. You have about half of my sermon there, right in front of you. And I'm not going to leave you questioning. You're not going to have any doubt in your mind what I talked about today, and I'm going to talk about faith. I want to declare to you that by faith, everything good is made possible. By faith that we have portrayed in this word right here, everything expedient in God, all of your requests, all the things of God, the building of the kingdom, the ability to be able to discern and to see Almighty God are made possible by faith. You enter in the door and you are able to see the kingdom by faith. If you don't have faith, you can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't experience it. You don't know what we're talking about. When you read the Word of God, it is just so many words on a page. But when you begin to get a feel, just exactly as that door begins to creak open, and you begin to peer into the kingdom room, and you're able to see God and what He has promised here, you're going to begin to see why men have been willing to die for the faith. Why men have a passionate desire and a zeal. They're able to lay their life down and put away the worldly things because they got a glimpse on top of the mountain. They have seen who reigns there. And it's Almighty God. So I want to tell you that there are some promises. You got it in your hand right here. And just look at those. It amazes me what we have here. Promised by God. This isn't a happenstance. It's not something that it may be and it might occur. This is it shall. It will. It's done. According to the will of God. I'm not going to read all this because I got too much. But you got it right here. Just look at that first one here. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened. For those of us who have questions, those of us who are asking of the Lord, this is not maybe, but it will be if it's according to the will of God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming here for an administration? You're coming here and you're not thinking in terms of, well, I hope that I might. It would be nice. It would be very fine. You're coming here with confidence in Almighty God. There's a blessing here for me. All things asked will, shall be given. If you ask in faith, that kind of faith that moves those mountains, that kind of seed faith born of a mustard, right, that says that I believe, oh God, that you've got something for me. But on the other hand, if you come and you sit here, you sit in your pew, you ask God for something, and you vacillate and you waver, and you feel that I don't know if it's for me today, but it would be a nice thing to come and ask. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not going to be given, except by maybe the mighty merciful grace of God. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Talking about 5th James there, when the call for the elders, anointed with oil, it shall be done. But Jesus also James also says there in that first chapter, he says that he that wavereth is like a sand of the sea, like a wave of the sea, tossed and turned. He said, let not that man or that woman or that child, let not that man think they'll receive anything from God. But you come, and you come here, and you come with that expectation. Paul, I hope you came with that expectation. God's got a blessing for me. He has come, and I have come with a determination to meet with God, and I've asked. And he says, he that would ask, he in no wise will cast off and turn away. And we have that expectancy. We've got that expectation in God. And I think what happens to the kingdom as it flounders and as it struggles and it wavers is that we don't have this confidence in Almighty God, who is Almighty. And he's got the power. And our job, his job, the minister's job is to point you to the power. To point you to Almighty God. And to feed the flock. And that's what we're going to do today. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You know, I have talked with bunches of us here, and I've heard some of you say, well, I was a minister to. Why is not the blessing coming? Well, you know, I thought about some of us right here who have said that, and I'd like to ask you right now. I'm thinking of some right now. I'm not going to ask you point blank. Are you here and are you blessed and did God heal you? Did you receive a blessing? Yes, they would say. They have. And God heard that prayer, and with great confidence, it's coming. May not necessarily come instantaneously, but it's on its way. Remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away except for what? Unbelief. Not going to be done except unbelief. And if we have a little seed of unbelief in our heart, I don't really think God's going to do it. In fact, as I heard of a man who was grievously afflicted, and he was at his home, and he's dying. Some ministers from another faith come to his door. Come on in. And what may I do for you? He said, we have come to administer to you. He says, before you do that, let me ask you one question. Do you believe that I'm going to be blessed by Almighty God? Do you believe that you have come here with the blessing? And the men kind of looked down on the ground and, well, we don't know. He said, well then, go back out the door. In Alma, I'm going to talk about this faith. And Alma has got an outline. I'm not going to read Alma 16. But I'm going to hit the mountaintops of what it says there. In verse 151 of that Alma 16, it says, arouse your faculty according to that kind of faith right here.
He says, if you have a hard time believing this, according to Alma 16, you need to arouse your faculties. Arouse is to wake up. Wake up to the possibility. Wake up that, hey, I think maybe the Word of God may be saying something here. I think maybe the Word of God is telling me something that I've kind of just sort of scanned over and passed over. And it says, this beginning of faith right here is to arouse, to wake up, to quit listening to all the paraphernalia that's out there in this world and listen to what the Word of God is saying. Arouse, awake up to what God is saying. Then he says, desire to believe. I would like to have this blessing. I'd like to have what these things are saying. I would like that for my children. I would like that for our nation, for our church. Gary in the Sunday school this morning got that promise here by God in 2 Chronicles. He says, if my people will humble themselves and seek Almighty God, I'll heal their land. There's kind of little conditions involved here as you come before the Lord God. If you remember the story of Esther. Esther was told by her uncle, he says, the kingdom of Israel, Judah, is dependent upon what you may do. And if you don't do it, and if you don't act, and if you don't sacrificially subject yourself to the risk, you're held accountable. And Esther took up the challenge. And she came and her husband was the king, but you don't come to the king's throne room without touching the scepter first. You don't come, and when he recognizes you've touched the scepter, then he says, come forth and come in. But if you haven't touched, and if you have not beckoned to be coming in, to come into the king room, you could be slain immediately. As it was in Old Testament times. Old Testament time, you come into the Holy of Holy, into the throne room, and if you have not come and have not made your sacrifices, there is death waiting for you, as it does for us. if we haven't come into the throne room according to the will and the way of God. And so Esther came in and she touched the scepter and the king says, come in. And that's what we do. And we come before the room and we're humbled. And we're going to address the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Almighty Ruler of the universe. And we don't just come flippantly skipping into His presence, but you're going to come into Almighty God. I have as your child something to ask. Be it your pleasure that you would grant such a thing. And Almighty God looks at His children and He says, it is and it will be. So you have a desire to believe. I desire that. I would like to have that for me, my family, for our church, for our nation, for our circumstance, for this young person or that marriage. I would like to have that. Desire to believe. And then you give place for the Word. Here is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, and John says that the Word was God, the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is the Word. We're holding Jesus in our hand. We have the Word of God from Him. And He speaks to us, and He says, take my Word and eat it. Take my Word and give place for it. And that means, my living room, my home is filled with furniture. My room is filled with all kind of stuff and rubble. And Jesus says, you got to start moving some furniture out of that room. You got to start making some room for my Word. And when you've made room for it, here comes the faith. And I'm beginning to come in. And I'm beginning to dine with you. You have made room for me to sit down. You have a place for me. I don't have to, when I come into your place, I don't have to stand as an unwanted guest. I don't have to stand worrying if I was invited or not. But I have a place prepared and ready for me. I have cleared the rubble out and I have a place for the Lord God Almighty. And you give place for His Word. And when He comes in, and He's sitting here, and He's rather comfortable. He doesn't have to be embarrassed for one moment. You would say, get out. I haven't got time for you. It says right here, it says, do not cast Him or the Word out. That has a place for me. And so here comes the Word of God. As it speaks to you of your life, as it speaks to you about your sin, make room for the Word that deals with your sin and remove it and cause the Word to come and replace it. When it talks to you about your humility, it talks to you about the action in your life, what you need to do. You do that because you made room for it. You made room for the Word of God. It isn't there. It's not lost in the rubble. It is there occupying a good, significant place in your heart. And this is the door, this is the way of faith. And we've been told by the Book of Mormon and by our Bible, this is how it happens when you have these promises right here. This is how it happens by this means right here. And then when you've made place for it, and the Word says, be at peace, my child, and depart from the world. Allow me to be the leader and the guide of your life. And when you have let Him do that, you begin to feel the swelling motion within you that says, boy, that was right. I've already talked with somebody today, this morning, who feels the swelling motions this morning. It was right. I did, and I heard the Word of God. I heeded the Spirit of God. It was right. And rejoicing in the effect of it. And so you begin feeling those swelling motions that occur in you. And then as that swells and as that seed begins to grow and as you begin to have just a little bit of this faith, a little bit of faith, you know, I was healed. I was blessed. That prayer was heard. Things did change. Almighty God manifests His hand. And when you see that, think, you know, I'm going to feed that little plant, boy, because that was great. That was good. That was delightful. That was delicious to me. And so what do? You nourish it. Well, how would you nourish the seed? You're going to nourish it because you bury your face in the Word of God. And as you're reading the Word of God, and you're not just reading the Word of God, but boy, it's coming out of there and it's leaping out and it's leaping on you and into you. And it becomes part of you. This is now part of you. This Word is now, it's no longer David Phoenix, but it is the Word manifest through him, his life. Our brother Forrest, he is the result of the inward working of the Word of God in his life. He is here today, occupying faithful. I talk to him every Sunday, and what does he talk about? Wasn't that a good sermon? Wasn't that a fine thing we heard in Sunday school class? I've been thinking about, you know, what the Bible says and what Jesus says. The Word of God has got a place, becomes part of it. And so you're feeding it, you're nourishing it by reading the Word of God. You're here today. You're here because here is where the feeding comes. If you're not here, if you're somewhere else, if you're in the world, I want to tell you, you got malnutrition. I want to tell you that if you haven't been reading the Word of God, and if you haven't been fellowshipping with the Lord God, you're dying of ill health. You got your deficit in your minerals and your vitamins. You're unhealthy. And your life can tell that. And nobody has to tell you about it. Take a look sometime. Take a hard look and examine yourself if you haven't been in the Lord. Boy, you know, I don't like who I see here. Well, I don't like what I've become. I don't like the feelings that I have. I don't like those thoughts. I don't like what I've been doing. Because you haven't got the resources to be strong against that. You haven't seen enough of the Lord to really believe in Him. And that He's going to do, He's going to deliver you, He's going to save you, He's going to build you up, He's going to stand you on a rock. And so you got to nourish the tree. And just by prayer and by reading, by worshiping the Lord. And that gets me down to my sermon. I look at faith in two different parts. I look at faith in God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. I look at faith as He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I look at God, and when I look out that window, and when I look at us, the marvelous complexity of who we are, it is done by a master designer. It is done by God. When I look at the precision, wherever I see, I look and I see God. David made a statement. He says, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. And so one part is this faith in God that I believe that He is. The other part is you have a faith, whatever your faith is. Your faith is what you have come to be and what you've come to believe. That's who you are, is your faith. It's what you believe in. And so Almighty God, I want to just read you a little scripture out of a couple of scriptures that I've got. This is in Isaiah the 40th chapter and in Psalms the 8th chapter, and it says this. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And somebody felt that penned that. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. How beautiful you are. How wonderful you are. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, directed, put out there, flung into space and in their orbits with precision, has ordained them, Almighty God, for whom we serve, us little people here below. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance. Behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket. Well, that's who our Father is. Our Father, who is all of these things, who measures out the oceans in the palm of His hand, and who has weighed the mountains that many of our people have crossed over into Colorado. Measured and weighed these mountains. He's telling us, He says, the nations are a drop in a bucket. What He's saying in my words, He said, I want to tell you, my children, that when I desire the nation of the United States to come down, it comes down. When I desire that a feeble little people of the house of Israel are going to rise, they're going to rise. No power on the face of the earth is going to stop it. No ruler, no system of men and their efforts are going to detain, change, slow, or speed up what I have caused to be done. Nations are just like a drop in a bucket. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes, the kings, the presidents, the armies to nothing. That's who we serve, and that's who I believe in. Almighty God, for whom has made what I consider two boats. And they're both coming into harbor. And they're big boats. And those boats are coming in, and the one boat, the Lord seals the door. The Bible says that Jesus, He has the keys to heaven and hell, and only He is able to open and shut. And that boat is coming in, and that boat is prepared for those who worship and believe in such a God as we have here. Back in the old times, a type of that boat was called the ark. And the ark's coming in. And the ark is coming in, and we can see it off in the distance. And it's drawing closer. And those who will and who believe and who have set and have made place for the Word of God are going to occupy a place on God's ark. But there's another boat coming in. And that boat is dark and is silent and is sliding in swiftly. And that's the spiritual Titanic. And that boat is bigger than the ark. And it occupies more room than the ark. And many of the children of God who do not and have not made place, who regard these things as something not to occupy a place in their room, there is a place for them on that boat. There is a place for them in the stateroom and the gilded stairways and in the ballroom and in the dancing and in the walkways and in the looking out over the bow and the sunset and all of that. There's place. That boat's going down. That boat's going down. But he who believes in the Lord God Almighty will live forever. And they'll sail forever with the Lord. And they'll be safe and in safe harbor. And they'll arrive to their destination. And not only that, there is power to be above the waves in this world for which we're subjected to. You gotta believe in that kind of God that we have. That kind of a God, I believe He's gonna save us. I have this, it's not a total 100% every day, every moment confidence, but it's a confidence that I feel growing every day, is that God has set His hand upon His children. And He's going to save you. He has set His finger upon you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And He's calling you out of the world, out of Babylon, out of indifference, out of laxity and laziness. He's calling us to worship Him. And he's gonna save us. And I have that faith in the Almighty that He's gonna save us.
And I pray every day, and I have this faith that God is not going to turn away my prayers. For my children. The Bible says that Jesus is our propitiation. He is our substitute. He is the one who has taken the heat. He's shouldered our sins. And he before the Father stands before the Father and he advocates our cause. That's our God. Our God who knows my name. Kelly, God knows your name. And you can have faith in Almighty God that if you trust in Him, He is advocating your cause before the Father. I have that faith in God. He's going to come back one of these days. I have that in, He's in heaven. The Bible says that He's in His resting place. He's in His hiding place. He's in a faraway journey, but He's coming back. I have that absolute confidence that one day either I or my children or soon we're going to look up, and you won't have to be told to look up. And Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back to count His worthies. He's coming back, and in His hand is the inventory of those decisions that you have made. He in His heart and in His mind, He has the blueprint of your house. And in those blueprints, He sees, yep, there in that house is the throne room. In that house, there has been room and place made for me. That's who I'm coming back for. Those blueprints that I have in this left hand that I have, and there is no place for God. There is no place that He has changed and molded and affected and had an impact on your life. He looks at those blueprints, and just as I would do with a bad blueprint myself that's wired wrong and plumbed wrong, and it's not safe. And that's what's going to happen. And so He's coming back. Absolutely believe that He's going to come back. But there's a different kind of, there's another application side of faith that I want to talk about. And that faith is your practical faith. If you came into my house and I was a practicing Buddhist, you would come into my house and what would you see? You would see the ornaments of my faith. You would see within me certain humble little attritions and things that I do that said, boy, you know, that guy, I mean, he's a Buddhist. And there's no question about it. He's a Buddhist. And when I'm talking to him, he's talking about all these Buddhist kinds of philosophies and theologies right here. He's a Buddhist. When he's walking around and if he's got his Buddhist monk outfit on right here, you don't have any question. He's a Buddhist. If I was Muslim, sold into Islam, you would see me, and we're working hard like that, and come up noon or whatever like that, you would see me, and I'd be pointing to the east. And I'm not ashamed to do that. I'd be doing it. And I'd be reading the Quran, and I'll tell you what, the Quran, the word of Muhammad says that we must do these things. This is what I do. He's Buddhist. I mean, he's a Islam. He's Muslim. He is. If you're a Christian, what is seen?
Your faith, if you have the faith, the Christian that has the faith is going to do the things that I'm going to talk about. This is what they do. If you don't do these things, you're not a Christian. That may be hard to accept. That's just the way it is. That's how God sees it. I went to, Becky and I went and visited with the Amish. And we spent a weekend with the Amish years ago. And I talked to Phineas Yoder. And I said, Phineas, I said, what is an Amish person? How do you become Amish? Well, he says, you have to attend church. We have church, you have to attend the church. If you don't attend the church, you're not Amish. If you do not get rid of your electronics in your house, and you plow by a horse in a plow, you are not Amish. If you go to the world in the Saturday night matinee, you're not Amish. But if you believe what Amishes believe, if you go to church, you are Amish. We know that you're Amish. We see that you are Amish. We have no question. Oh, I don't know if he's Amish today or not. He's an Amish. He is Amish. Christian prays. A Christian is a prayer person. A Christian, if we are a Christian, is one who is found often praying. He is driving his car. She is at her desk. You're on the volleyball court. You are out on a canoe trip. You're praying. Lord, watch over us. You know, we need your power and help me to be an advocate. Help me not to yield myself to bad things and do bad things and to be a poor example. Help me to magnify thee, O God. You're praying. You're taking all of your life, you're taking all of your decisions, as the Book of Mormon says, in everything, you consecrate your doings unto the Lord, that it may be consecrated to your salvation. And so everything you're doing, when you come to church, your prayer, I hope, was, God, give me the word today. Give me the power today, that I may live day by day. That I may, this coming week, Monday, that I won't flag and I won't weary, I won't weaken, I won't give up. And so you pray. I was thinking about Daniel. And Daniel was a man that found himself praying. He was praying when the angel Gabriel came and visited with him. Told him, he says, Daniel, he says, you're greatly favored of the Lord. But Daniel was also a man later on. This is what you get for being a prayer warrior. What happened to Daniel? Well, he got thrown in the lion's den. And he got thrown in the lion's den because he was a prayer warrior. And there was an occasion that was brought up by his enemies. And said, there's nothing that we can get against Daniel because Daniel is a man of integrity. We can't catch him doing anything wrong. Hey, everything that he does it according to some standard. And the only thing we can do is to get him caught in something that he does with his standard. O King, make a decree that anybody who doesn't, who prays at an inopportune time right here, he's thrown in the lion's den. And he got caught praying. And I tell you what, I hope every one of you get caught praying. I hope every one of you are caught, not because you want to be caught, but because that is who you are. Mr. and Mrs., brother and sister Christian. Often praying. Your wife, your husband, your children need to find mom and dad praying. They're in their dark room. They're, Dad, Mom! I'm sorry. Out in your highways and byways. It's like old Brother Brian, what I've heard stories of him. He's reading the Book of Mormon on the tractor, and he's out there in a barn in the night light, and he's praying to Almighty God. Ruby Bryant, praying for her son, didn't stop.
Did Ruby Bryant's prayers, were they heard, Margaret? Everybody else gave up hope on Lauren Bryant, but Mama didn't give up hope because she believed just exactly what I said. Lord, you have heard and you will answer, and I know that you will. And Lauren come home that day on the wings of his mother's prayer and the grace of Almighty God. What another thing that Christians do, we don't really kind of like to talk about a whole lot here in the Church of Christ. Throughout these books is the concept, the Christian concept, set forth by our Lord himself, beginning with fasting. These things, these problems, Jesus says, don't come out and are not handled and are not dealt with except for what, Laura? Prayer and fasting. Jesus himself, our example, our leader, our guide, first began his ministry doing what, Brother Forrest?
Fasting
for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you not think that the Lord himself was setting himself aside? Hunger, you set aside. Chocolate eclairs, you lay down. Big meals, dinner, Sundays, it's not going to happen today. And I have got a cause bigger than my appetite that I'm concerned about. And Lord reads that cause. That's the principle of fasting, not some big marvelous, miraculous kind of thing. It is the fact that it's an obedient son who sees something bigger than himself. And he set himself for that. And I'm going to set myself until the blessing comes down. Reading. That's what a Christian does. Reading these books. Read them from cover to cover. Read them from chapter to chapter. Understanding, reading with understanding and desire. Lord, what have you got to say to me today? And the people come to the prophet. And they said, Ezra, the people did. We want to hear the word of God. And Ezra went and he got the word of God. And he said the people gathered together as one person. They gathered together and he started reading in the morning. I'd like to do that someday. Have Alvin stand up here and he starts reading the Word of God. Starts in the morning. And it didn't end until midday, noon. Reading. And it said the people were mindful of it. And they had a mind to hear and to heed the Word of God, because they've got place for it. They had made a place. Their place is empty, and when they're ready right here, their room is clean, and it is now ready to be occupied. And says, God, come in and to fill my room. We got a woman in this church. Told me the other day, I just was moved by it. Said that I have determined, as I thought about tithing, that I have determined that I'm going to spend 10% of my time reading the Word of God, if I got it right. I'm going to get up early in the morning, and myself and the Word of God and the Lord are going to commune together, because I realize that there's far greater importance than whatever I do today in all of my haste. People are often amazed around here, visitors. They come in and we have a little Bible study and here's some of our ladies and some of our young people and some of our old guys, whatever like that. And boy, they say, well, you know, the Bible says over here in Hebrews, I think it's the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. And boy, people are looking at that. Yeah, that sure is. It's in there. How do he know that? Well, he knows it because he's read it and he's pondered it and it had an impact in his mind and his heart. All of this is faith. Faith in the principles of God. Faith is what you stand for. This is who you are, brother and sister Christian. You're gonna pray and you're gonna fast and you're gonna read and you're also
you're going to do it. Paul makes a statement. He says, faith without works is what? It's dead. Absolute faith without it translating into some action in your behalf. When I have read it, when I have read the Word of God, when God comes talking, when He visits with me and He says, Randy, this is what I want you to do. I don't want to do. No, this is what I want you to do. And I do it. Then it's counted unto me for what? Righteousness. It's not. My reading, I believe in God and I believe in walking on water and I believe in healings and, but everything I think and say and feel dictates I don't really believe it. So there was this time in the Bible in Acts where Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit. He says, go down to the south country. Well, why do I want to go to the south country? It's hot down there. I don't want to go. Go to the south country, Philip. So he goes to the south country. And as he's going down the road to the south country, he meets whom? The eunuch. And he meets the eunuch. And the eunuch is reading Isaiah. And he's reading the book. And here is Philip who is passing by. And he doesn't look at this man. He says, I don't know that man. Who is this guy right here? I'm nervous about it. Spirit says, attach yourself to this man. Find out what he's doing. Ask some theological questions. Say something. Do something. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Well, no, I don't. As a matter of fact, I'm at this place and it's talking about some man who's grievously afflicted and he's taken our stripes and by our stripes we're healed and so on. You know, is it talking about the prophet himself or some other? Philip can't wait to get into the carriage. And he went and explained to him the word and the way of God. Now here's the eunuch. And here's the eunuch and he's reading for himself. Unless you are baptized by water and the Spirit, thou shalt not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Philip, here is much water. What withholdeth me from doing as this says? Pull up the carriage. And he was baptized. Because he made place and it translated, I've got to do it. This is what I must do. This is what the Word is saying to me. This is what God is saying. I will do it. That is what a Christian is and does. Ye who are Christians know exactly that this is true and this is what you do. You who are not Christians don't do this. You have not done this. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to change boats with you and says, I do have a place for you on the ark. But it has to be. This is who your faith is. Your faith is what you do and what you believe and what you have experimented by God Almighty. And you have discovered that it creates a tree and it beginning to grow and it has an effect on you. Bible says that a Christian loves his neighbor. Bible says that a Christian loves other Christians. The Bible says that a Christian loves everybody in the congregation. Loving your neighbor. That means you're coming down the road there and someone's beat up. What that means is you see them beat up and they're laying against the bench and they're sighing and they're overwrought with having been assaulted. What that means is, are you all right? That's what that means. That means that when Stephen has his roof blown off, that means there is something here. They're speaking to us. Well, he's got good insurance. No, that means something. I thought immediately, I've got a generator at home. Immediately, when he said that, I thought immediately, I got a generator and he hadn't got any power. to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou not hide thyself from thine own flesh. That's a Christian. That's what Christians do. People who do not do these things are not Christian. Counsel from God is what a Christian does. He knows that he don't have the answers. He knows that the decisions that he makes, the way that he goes, he knows that it is wrought with failure and calamity. He knows that. And he knows that he has got to go to someone, as the song says, higher than I. I'll do it to the rock higher than I. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Boy, here is God Almighty, who knows everything. He knows what your next breath will bring. He knows exactly today where you, Nathaniel, will be tonight. He knows exactly what we're going to be doing next week. And that God can order your path. And I tell you what, in my own way, I know that the bridge is out. I know in my own way, I know that somewhere along there is a landmine, there is catastrophe, there is trouble. And God knows it. And God knows, he said, Randy, he said, I've got a better way. It's a little bit longer. It's a little rougher. It's a little more narrow, a little straighter. He said, but it's not this way. Yeah, but I want to go this way. I want to get there as fast as I can. Do you want to hear me or do you want to hear yourself? I want to hear you, Lord. And so somebody said, I felt him saying in my sermon, Randy, in your sermon, he said, you've said lots of things, but you didn't give us anything what to do. I'm not going to be guilty of that ever and again. I don't think I said that right. I'm going to tell you something that I think that you ought to do this week. I think like Paul and like Peter and like Daniel, I think you ought to pray 3 times a day this week. I think this week, in this day, you set your time, and I am going to pray several times to God. I'm going to take time, and I'm going to find my hiding place, and I'm going to spend some time with God. 3 times. Every day this week. Who knows? You might have your soul enlarged by that. I am going to abstain from evil this week. Now you know what that means. I don't have to go into the myriad of things that we're subjected to in this world. This week, abstain from evil this week. The great American sin out or smoke out, or abstain from the things that you know it's not right. If you think from God's perspective, from the Word's perspective, you know it's not right. This week, make it your mind. I am going to not do those things this week. I'm going to worship the Lord this week. How can you worship the Lord? Well, we come on a Wednesday night. And we come, our endeavor is to worship the Lord on Wednesday night. It does not have to do with talking about me or you. It does not have to do about how wonderful cookies that you made last week. It has to do with the focus of our adoration is to God. Your testimonies may have to do something that you did. There's nothing wrong with that. If it points to God, God did it. God be praised. I and myself, unworthy to receive the least of the blessings of Almighty God. But I want to tell you what He did. And tell it. Forgive somebody that's trespassed against you. And boy, I tell you what, that is tough. That's tough to change the mindset because you know they're despicable. They did that on purpose. They meant it to hurt me, and it does hurt, and I'm still hurting, and I can't lay it aside. I can't give it up. Jesus says, forgive. Try to do that this week. Don't try to do it. Do it this week. Somebody who smashed your toes down to the asphalt, forgive them this week. And then have the confidence to ask God something that you think is impossible. Unheard of. That, in our way of thinking, and I want to tell you, in my way, my human thinking, you can't think that way. You just don't ask for impossible things. You don't ask for things you know it can't happen. This week, ask God, Lord, in my mind, I know it can't happen, won't happen, but I believe Almighty God, by your power, by your grace, if it's right, if it's good, I'm asking you to perform it. And I will give you glory. And I will raise you, your name, before everyone that I meet. There will be no question this week who I serve. And what side I'm on, and who I'm for, and who's influenced me. And it's God Almighty, the author and finisher of our faith. God bless you.
Thank you, Randy. We're going to close with hymn number 331, I'll ask Brother Hill to give the closing prayer, and we'll remember Serena K. Smith at that same time. 331, take your bulletin with you.